Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Moving Phase with Reverend
Green. Reverend Green Covington is the Associate Pastor of the Warner Memorial Church of God in Ferndale, Michigan. She is here to take your calls regarding faith in today's society.
If you have any questions, call the toll-free number on your blog screen.
And without any further delay, here is Living Faith with Reverend Green.
Good evening. I'm glad you could join me again on this wonderful Friday here in the metropolitan Detroit area. It's been an absolute glorious day. People can't believe it's fall here. Just wait. Tomorrow's going to snow. That's one thing that's for certain. You can never trust the weather in the state of Michigan. I'm glad that you could join me this evening. And today, very briefly, we're going to look at five principles in the kingdom of heaven. I think that these are important principles in that they will help us become the people that God's calling for us to be. If we keep these things in mind, they're not difficult. They're really simple. I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can look at that will help you to see what's being said. I am going to be reading from the, today let's make it simple for you, the New International Version, the NIV. It will help you understand the Word of God. And as I said, with the exception of the Living Bible, which is not a translation, but rather a paraphrase, some of the guy's thoughts about what's really being said, don't even waste your money looking at that. If you have one, that is not a translation of the Bible. Don't bother. That is about the only one that is not going to be even close to being accurate. All right, in the kingdom of God, and I'm just giving you five, but the first principle that I'm giving you is the principle of promise. Look with me at Psalm 127 and 1, which says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain." Wow. "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain." The principle of promise. Whatever God promises to us as individuals, it's assured. It is not something that will fall apart. It is not something that will never come to pass. It's not something that you say, well, maybe eventually God's going to get around to doing this, or I don't really think God's going to do anything with this. That's never the case with God. He is always the one who is definitely going to fulfill every promise that he makes to you. Now, if you find yourself believing in a promise that has no spiritual, no scriptural foundation, then that's the promise that you've made to yourself. But whatever God promises you, he's going to fulfill that. There's no such thing as it being in vain. We cannot try to fulfill God's promise. Look at Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. This will show us what happens when we decide to build without God's word. And it's something that should be very familiar with us. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Men moved eastward. They founded Plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us that plural. Come let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. And that is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them all over the face of the whole earth. Now, I want you to stop and think. You may think, well, what was so wrong with building a tower? I've said this before. What makes right wrong? Motive. It always has, and it always will. Their motive was to reach up to where God was. That's not man's place. It's God's place to decide who he gets into his house. They wanted everyone to recognize how great they were and how special they were and how dynamic they were as individuals. That has nothing to do with the will or the desires of God. Now, none of this would have happened. I don't think it would have happened. There would have been no confusion of languages. We would have spoke the same thing. We would have continued on in our lives if we had simply did what God had said when he first opened the doors of the ark. What did he say? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave here, go out, spread out among the earth, and replenish it. In other words, reproduce. Hey, everything's been killed. I want you to repopulate everything. But I don't want you to do it all in one place. I want you to spread out. They traveled together with a pack, and apparently they decided, I don't really care what God says. I'm going to do this because it's what I want to do. They didn't have a problem ignoring because they chose to do that. There was a confusion of language. God is not going to allow us to just deliberately disobey his word and go forth. But one thing is for certain. When we build according to the will of God, when we understand that his promise is assured, is certain, if we decide to do anything without God's word backing us up, we're wasting our time. First principle in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, is simply this. The principle of promise. The second principle is the principle of patience. After receiving the promise, don't give up when trouble arises. Joseph had a dream that he would be exalted above his brothers. But before it was to be fulfilled, he went through the trouble of being thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, and thrown into prison. It seemed he was more humiliated than his brothers. That certainly didn't seem like he was going to be exalted. That dream had come and it had gone. He had the dream, and nothing was going right with his life. So his brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. Nothing was going right in his life, and here he is in prison. But Joseph didn't throw up his hands in frustration. He patiently waited. He waited as God fulfilled the dream. Look with me at Psalm 105, verse 19. Give yourself a few seconds to get there. And I'm right there with you. I need a few seconds to get there myself. 113, 112. A little ways to go. We're looking at Psalm 105, verse 19. And what does it say? I'll let you know as soon as I can turn the page here. Verse 19 says, till that which he foreknew, I'm sorry, till that he, man, I can't read today. Till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of God proved him true. Joseph was a man that certainly had every reason to give up hope, every reason to say, I made a mistake. This can't be the will of God. I don't care what the dream said. I don't care what the interpretation is. All I know is nothing in my life has gone right. Everything has constantly and consistently fallen apart. Why should I keep holding on to this? But he never gave up. He didn't lose patience with God. He didn't throw his hands up and say, well, this just isn't going to happen, or maybe another generation or so, but certainly not to me. Just because difficulties arrive and obstacles come before you have that promise that God has made to you fulfilled does not mean that it will not be fulfilled. You hold on to that promise. Hold on. Don't be patient. God's not one to forget. He hasn't forgotten what he said. He never does. Hebrews 6 and 12 tells us, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Those individuals in the Old Testament never lived to see the birth of Christ. They never lived to see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God here on earth in the present. They never had that opportunity, but they never gave up hope that it was going to come. Consider Abraham. Left his family, left everything that he knew behind, took his wife, some cattle, his nephew, and took off on a journey to a land that he had never been before. Years had passed, 80 years, another 80 years. And he's thinking, seriously? I'm going to have a kid, right? And what? Time has really gone past. Abram never gave up his faith, never stopped saying, forget it, Lord. I'll do it myself. I'll accomplish what I want to do, because obviously you're not on the ball on this. He never gave up believing that God was going to fulfill what he had said. He trusted him, and he had patience in waiting. The problem that we have, especially in the Western culture, is that we don't have any patience. I was listening to a pastor friend of mine once who said, as he was waiting for God to do something with him, and he was being counseled by another pastor who told him, just wait, have patience. And he said, he stomped his foot and said, I wouldn't need patience if God came right now. And many of us think that way. If God would just listen to us and come when we say come, then we don't really need any patience. It's fine. Just do what you need to do, but do it now. So we have two principles so far. We have promise. Whatever God promises, whatever it is to us as individuals, it's going to come to pass. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. Second principle is that of patience. Don't get so distressed and disheartened that it hasn't come in your time frame that you give up hope, that you say that it's just not going to be. Just be patient. God has not forgotten his word. God has not forgotten his promise to you. It will come to pass. Our third principle in the kingdom of God is the principle of praise. God inhabits the praise of his people. Things happen when the people of God offer him praise. The walls of Jericho fell when the people praised. The earth shook. Prison doors opened when Paul and Silas praised God. Where there is no praise, there's bound to be grumbling and murmuring. That's where the children of Israel went wrong in the desert. They came out, scared, but they offered praise. They got tired. And they stop praising, and they begin complaining. The lack of praise in your life will destroy your life. Look with me at Psalm 22 and 3. Go ahead, turn those Bibles, 22 and 3. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. You want to get action out of God? You want to get him moving? Want to have him riled up? Want to have him excited? Then praise him. He inhabits the praise of his people. Look with me at, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I wonder what was wrong here in the book of Luke. Acts chapter 16. That's after the four Gospels. New Testament. Verses 25 and 26. I've got one more chapter to go here. All right. 16 verses 25 through 26. And they say, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. When we praise God, something happens. Something changes within us. Something moves God to hear us. But when we're grumbling and complaining about things, we can't see the goodness of God. We don't understand how God could possibly not hear us. Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he moving the way that I think he should move? Why am I getting what I want out of life? Why aren't things falling the way that I think that they should? It's what happens when we stop praising God instead of being thankful for all that he has done. Instead of looking for the blessings that he has given and considering what he's already done, we forget all that. Start grumbling and we start complaining, and then we get nowhere. Beloved, God is looking for people who are willing to say, you know what? Things aren't going my way. Things aren't good. But I trust that God has not forgotten me. I know he hasn't forgotten me. So whatever it is that he has promised me, it's definitely going to come to pass, so I can praise him for that right now. I needn't wait. I've been praying for healing. I don't have to wait any longer. I know God has heard me. I know God will heal. I know God's will be done. There's no doubt of that. That's why in what Joshua shows us in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, says, when the trumpet sounded and the people shouted at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed so that every man charged straight in and they took over the city of Jericho. Why did that happen? Because they were people that were willing to praise God. If they had marched around the city and done all of those things and then had said, thank you, Jesus, nothing would have happened. But when they sincerely, from the depths of their being, shouted out in praise, something happened. They were able to get into the city and take over the city as God intended them to do. But it happened when they were obedient, when they offered up praise to God. What gets God moving is when we don't grumble and complain about what is occurring in our life, but rather we take the time to say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate everything that you've done for me. I lift up my voice in thanksgiving. Oh, I asked you for something. You promised me this. It hasn't come to pass yet. It's been a long time since you promised it to me. But you know what? I believe in you, Lord. I praise you for it already. Don't see it yet, but I'm willing to praise you for it. When we don't praise God, our lives will come to a screeching halt, our spiritual lives, that is. We can look at the book of Numbers, chapter 32 and verse 13. Take your time. Find it. That's in the Old Testament. You can't lose it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Got it? Chapter 32, verse 13. It tells us, the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them to wander in the desert 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. When we forget to praise God and when we start grumbling and complaining about the circumstances and the effects in our life, rather than realize, you know what? God has a plan. I trust him. I believe in his promise. I know he's going to pull this thing off. Don't know how he's going to do it. but I do know he's going to. The fourth promise, principle in the kingdom of God, the fourth principle is provision. God first in our life. He faithfully meets our needs. Consider Peter, who had fished all night and caught nothing. And then Jesus came along, asked to use Peter's boat, and told him, take your net and cast it over there. Peter was a fisherman. He knew that you didn't fish at night. He knew that you didn't fish in deep water. Nevertheless, Peter did at the Lord's word, took him at his word, and those clean nets that he had just done, he cast them over to the right side after launching out deeper into the water. When he cast his net, where Jesus had told him, it was filled so that he needed a bigger boat. And not only did he need a bigger boat, but he needed to call his partners over and said, hey, these nets are going to snap. There's so much fish in there. We've been out fishing all day, but we didn't catch anything. As a matter of fact, we've never caught this many in our entire life. When we willingly allow God to use whatever we have for the kingdom, he blesses us to the beyond. That's what God wants for us. What is the principle of provision? Giving before we receive. Knowing that God has something in mind, even when we don't see it. Just say, nevertheless, Lord, I'll give you whatever I had. I'll do it at your word. I'll lead, walk in your direction. I will do what you say to do, even though I don't see how it's possible. Here, take this. The young man with a few loaves of bread and the five fish, not much to go among all those people sitting there to feed them. Nevertheless, he willingly gave it up. And when he gave it up, that's when it was multiplied to the point where 12 baskets full of fragments that were leftovers had to be picked up. It wasn't just an act on keeping the area clean. It was Jesus saying, when you do what I say do, I'm going to bless you to the beyond. I'm going to give you more than what you ever imagined, more than what you thought possible. I'm going to go there. No one else can go there, but I can go there. A lot of people can make you promises, beloved, but only God can actually go and fulfill those greatest of promises. We're told that when we approach God, when we go to him, when we go to the altar, that we have to first make sure that we're in the proper place, that we're doing things as it should be done, in the way that it should be done. Turn with me to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep your oaths, the oaths that you have made to the Lord. Can I get the right word? Yeah. Be honest with God. Whatever you've given him, when you've given him his word, your word, that should be as good as gold. You're never going to break that. You're going to keep that. You're going to follow through with it. Whatever you have in life, when you offer it freely to the Lord, he takes it, multiplies it, and then divides it among his kingdom, what? As he sees fit. He does what needs to be done and the way that needs to be done, but he always makes sure that he goes beyond with you. So people, man, and this is not about prosperity here. This has got nothing to do with prosperity. This has everything to do with the kingdom of God and being faithful in the kingdom of God. When we expect God to provide for us, and he will, we have to be willing to be those individuals who will give him our very best. We have to be willing to use what we have for the kingdom. And we won't go lacking. We may not become the rich people and those who say, oh, my God has all this. Surely he can give me $1 billion, I can be just fine. Because if he really loves me, then I'm going to prosper greatly. Let me remind you, if it's not in the book of Genesis, then it's not a true doctrine, then that's not in the book of Genesis, in case you wanted to know. It's not there. God does provide. He gives his very best to us, and he goes beyond just giving us enough to eke by. But he gives us according to his will, according to his own desire. When Peter was fishing, and he had been fishing during the night, had been fishing all night, came in, it's daytime. Let's clean those nets up, fold them up, put them away. We'll come back another day. Did we catch anything? No, we caught nothing. Peter, this has been a wasted day, but hey, that's what happens sometimes. We were here right where we should, where the fish come. Peter and his partners knew where the fish would come. There was no doubt. They were fishermen. They understood that. But that night they hadn't caught anything. Still, when Jesus says, hey, tell you what, why don't you go out a little deeper? Jesus, there's no fish out there. And this is daytime. There's no fish. Then nothing's going to happen. Imagine what would have happened if Peter said, nope, I'm not taking my boat back out there. That's a waste of time. No, I just cleaned these nets and I put them away. I'm not going back out there. Instead, Peter says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll go. I imagine Peter's thinking, he's a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? I know about fishing. We've worked here all night. We haven't caught anything. And then there's that word that I just love. Nevertheless, I'm going to give you what I have. You can take my boat, take my nets that I worked so hard to clean. It's going to take me hours more to get them, let them dry, clean them, and let them dry again, get them put away. Nevertheless, you can do that. I'm going to do it because you said to. And look at what he received in return. That's what God does, beloved. There's never a question of you going lacking when you do what God tells you to do. That's never going to happen. God is always going to make sure that you have exactly what you need, an abundance of what you need, when we're doing it to the glory and to the will of God. When you're generous with your tithes, when you look and say, oh, wait, I don't have to do any more than 10%. Okay, you don't have to. How about making an extra offering to the Lord? Don't worry about losing it. You're going to be fine. He's going to give that back when you're willing. That fifth principle in the kingdom of God, let's go quickly over the previous four. The principle of promise, number one, the principle of patience, number two, the principle of praise, number three, the principle of provision, number four, and number five, the principle of promotion. Excuse me. Promotion comes by humility. The disciples wanted to know who was the greatest, and Jesus put a child before them. He didn't call the wealthiest, the wisest, or the most experienced. Instead, he taught that the one who humbles himself like a child is the greatest. Luke tells us in chapter 14, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. You don't need to toot your own horn. That's the saying, toot your own horn. You don't need to do that. When you accept the humility, you can say, well, I thank God that I'm really a tremendous person, that I've got all of this going on. God blessed me with such enormous talent. He must have really loved me. Look how pretty I am. God really loved me. Look at how these physical attributes that he has bestowed upon me. You know, I don't think that Job was the best looking man in the world, but he was considered the greatest. I think when Job, and the scriptures say that every day he brought offerings and made sacrifices and prayers before the Lord, just in case one of his children had sinned. Job didn't care about the fact that he had a great deal of wealth, that he had a good, solid family, that he had servants. He didn't care about any of that. What he cared about was pleasing his God. Being one considered himself not greater, but one who considered himself as being part of God's people. It's never about you. It really isn't. But when you can come humbly before him and simply say, Father, I know I'm not much, but all that I am, I'm offering it to you. I'm asking that you would take me, such as I am, and glorify yourself. If you want people to see who you are in the kingdom of God, then your motive is wrong. If you want God to be glorified by who you are, then just come to him. It's not a question of who's the greatest. It's not a question of how many blessings God has given you. It's a question of simply this. Is God pleased with me? And if God is pleased with you, then like Job, who when Satan came before him and said, the Lord said, have you considered my man Job? There is none like him. When you can have the word of God saying, Abraham is my friend. Consider Enoch, who walked with the Lord and then was no more. When you stop and you say, Elijah was a man that was so endowed with the Spirit that nothing escaped him. When you look at Peter, whose very shadow could heal, none of them were individuals who looked upon themselves more highly than they ought to. In fact, they didn't consider themselves worthy. If you allow God to promote you, going to be individuals that are humble, that are willing to follow him in humility and in thanksgiving. It's been a pleasure to have you with me on this day. I want you to remember that I am always praying for you. I am 100% in your corner. The five principles in the kingdom of God aren't really hard. They're nothing new. Principle of promise, principle of patience, principle of praise, principle of provision, the principle of promotion. All these things right there for us in the kingdom of God. Beloved, until we meet again, may God bless you and keep living saved.
No one stopped to look or stare. As I look upon the hill, I see something so unreal. I see my Savior nailed to the cross. He did it all for me. Right here. But pouring in his eyes,
You've been listening to the Living Saved Show with Pastor Kareem, a Living Saved Ministries production. Join me again on next Friday as we continue to explore the Word of God, learning how to live saved in this world in a manner that would please Him most. Until we meet again, may God bless you and keep living saved.